Healthcare Directives.
Conference Committee on Senate Bill 104 to order. The Senate members are Senator Seekins, Terrio, and Guess. Senator Terrio will be with us in a moment. Senators Seekins and Guess are here. House Chair is McGuire, and Lynn is, and Grunberg are the members. They are all present. We have before us Senate Bill 104. Just a little bit of the bill's history. 104 passed the Senate as a basically a fraud bill. When it got to the House side, Representative McGuire, you can give us a little history on it there, if you would, please.
Yes. Thank you, Senator Seekins. So when Senate Bill 104 came over to our side, we amended in what was then House Bill 127 that does two things. The first thing that it does is it has a provision regarding civil penalties for fraud on the PFD that I've been trying to get into law for 6 years now, that would in part recognize that that the division can impose a civil fine without having to go through expensive court procedures. There was some concern on the Department of Revenue's part that they may not have that administrative authority to go ahead and forfeit the dividend and then impose a fine of up to $3,000. Pardon me, up to $5,000. And then to go ahead and say that the person would be ineligible to receive the next five dividends. And the concern dates back to legal case law that kind of implied that a person might have a right for their day in court. And so what we did real carefully is work through it so that the threshold of that fine would be enough that it could be imposed administratively, which, as all of us know, you know, with your business and other things, trying to get through the courthouse door anymore is a good $10,000 just to do that. So we want to send a really strong message that we don't tolerate fraud, that we want the division to have these powers to go ahead and impose these fines, but to not have to have that real expense of going through the courthouse doors to do it. That's the first part. The second part is to restore the Peace Corps, those that are serving in it, their eligibility to receive their permanent fund dividend, those members of the Peace Corps who are Alaskans. Back in 1981, the legislature established the first framework for the permanent fund dividend, who would receive it, how it would be distributed, and who might be able to have an excuse for being excused, Senator Seekins, from the state in terms of an absence. And so when the debate was conducted, the Peace Corps was on the list of the original group that was intended to receive an allowance for their absence from the state. And based on the thought that they would be returning back and that they were doing good work along with military and other folks in the categories, and that we wouldn't penalize them and say that, you know, you're an Alaskan but you can't receive your dividend because you're away serving. And so that was removed in 1997. And Senator Seekins, as you know, I've explained to you, I've gone back through every record that I can find and would just submit that the removal was arbitrary, that it was done seemingly to insert another category of beneficiaries, the merchant mariners, which I have no problem with them being in that category, but there was no evidence offered at the time that there was abuse occurring, that the individuals serving in the Peace Corps had somehow increased, the number had increased to a point that was unsustainable, and so on. So this is a very important issue to me. When I first ran for office, going door to door, a woman in my district brought this issue to me. She had served in the Peace Corps and, in point of fact, served 1 year and received her dividend, and then the next year went to apply for it and was told that she no longer was eligible, despite the fact that she was paying her mortgage in my district. She was paying all of her property taxes in the municipality of Anchorage, and she was even voting by absentee ballot. And so her question to me was, how am I not an Alaskan, and why would I be denied that opportunity to apply for that? And so I took it on as an issue, and it's very important to me, and that's why it's here. The number of applicants has never exceeded 30. It hovers right around there, 27, 26, 30. These folks come back and teach in our schools, oftentimes with the benefit of a second language. They represent all political parties in my research, and they come back to the state in droves. They are some of the highest percentage of returnees to Alaska. And so to carve them out in 97 was arbitrary, was not based on any abuse, and I would just submit simply that they ought to be restored. The Olympic athletes was added on the House floor. There were roughly eight. These are also folks, many of them were in our building last week. Keegan Randall and a group of folks all here. They come back obviously to Alaska all the time, consider themselves Alaskans, but frankly their training and their competition sometimes takes them away beyond the allowable absence period. So in the event that the question arises, as Senator Terrio had asked me in a prior committee, why them and not someone else, I would just submit that in the case of the Peace Corps, it's a restoration of one of the original groups, and that I think it's appropriate. And so I would ask for the good senators from the other body's support in keeping the entire bill a good bill. There is certainly support for the entire bill on our side, and I would appreciate the support today.
Okay, as I remember the history of the bill, when it came back for concurrence, there was a tie vote, and it didn't pass.
Correct.
So we're here. Now, if we just step down through the section-by-section analysis, we just go through that for the record. The first 19 sections of the bill are exactly the same. Get into section 20 of the bill. What we've done is here a new paragraph that reads, let's see,
Senator Seekins, that's the corpus.
Oops, you know, I'm in the wrong words.
50% of the corpus of the House Bill 127.
Yeah. 20, yeah. We take a look at Section 20, the eligible individuals. Let's take a look at that. Section 20 of the Senate bill corresponds to here what the House bill has done in that section. It inserts that for those people who are eligible residents or eligible for the dividend, someone serving as a volunteer in the Federal Peace Corps program, 15 because of training or competing as a member of the United States Olympic team. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
Includes the lower allowances, allowable absences cited earlier in the section to be included in the 45-day additional absence, saving secondary, post-secondary, to full-time basis, et cetera. Okay? So then we've got, and we'd get some renumbering. Mm-hmm. Other than that, there's no change, but it was adding here the Peace Corps volunteer, correct?
Yeah, and I wanted to add one other point, if I might, Mr. Chairman. At the request of discussions with yourself and others, we did an unusual thing as well. We excluded members of a Peace Corps volunteer's household as well, if you recall that discussion.
Okay. All right.
So that it's simply the volunteer themselves.
We've had some discussion, but at this point, we won't talk about it. When we talk about competing as a member of the United States Olympic Team, there has been some later discussion, but not part of what we're considering right now, as other national teams. For an example, someone who may be on the national rifle competition team or something along that line.
That's why we defined it, Senator, on the floor, that there's a good record on the House floor about that very issue. And an earlier iteration of that amendment wasn't as clear. That's why we decided to say a member of the United States Olympic team.
Right. Okay. The other than that, the next section that was added was, again, as you did here, for a civil fine in addition to criminal penalties for fraud. The state could pursue a civil fine of up to $3,000 administratively imposed. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Other than that, there are no other changes. Senator Terrio, does that clarify any questions you may have on the differences between the two bills?
I think so, yes.
First, then, the Is there anybody that wanted to give any testimony one way or the other on this issue? Anybody from the Permanent Fund Division? Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman, we have no testimony. Questions.
Any questions for members of the Permanent Fund Division? Seeing none. The question before us is, as a conference committee, that the procedure would be, if we agree on one or the other versions to be brought back as our conference committee report, if then we would bring them back for a vote of our separate bodies to accept or reject the conference committee report. And so we would have to agree on adoption of either one or the other, or to bring back. So the next procedure would be, if we can't agree that either one of these two should go back, that we would ask our respective bodies for power of limited free conference and specify what areas of the bill we were asking for limited free conference powers. At that time, if we could not still agree on which version to bring back, or after amending it to the satisfaction of both bodies, we would report back to our individual bodies that we were not able to meet that, and they could feel free to then appoint a conference committee a free conference committee, who could rewrite the bill in effect. Mm-hmm. So, the first question before us is whether or not we would, as a body, agree to put forward either of the two versions that are before us.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Just something that should be stated for the record, and I think that if the staff can let the people who do the printing of this, on page 8, line 27, if we can, I think we can. They can make a technical change without whichever version we take, by the physician who treated the illness. The word
and which version?
Either way.
I mean, which version does it say?
Oh, I'm on the House CS.
Which is number what?
The number is 519/S.
S.
Yeah. And I'm just using that because it's in current law. I think it's a typo that can be corrected.
Page 8 what?
Line 27, by the physician who treated, rather than that. I think that's grammatically correct. And just staff. If you're acting as staff on that,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd make a motion that the conference committee adopt the House version 24-LS0519/S as the CS that we put forward and adopt out of the conference committee.
Okay. Does the secretary have a roll down there, or I can call the roll either way?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you call the House?
Representative Grunberg.
Yes.
Representative Lynn.
Yes.
Representative McGuire.
Yes.
Call the Senate.
Senator Guest?
Yes.
Senator Terrio?
No.
And for purposes of discussion, I'll vote no at this time. Senator Terrio? Are we? Let's take a short at ease. So therefore, we'll let the vote stand at this point.
Mr. Chair.
Right.
Let's take a look at the last page of the House version, just so we know what we're asking
sure.
for. I would recommend, and
this
I'd ask...
This is the S version?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd ask the staff to draft the appropriate letter, that what we want is limited powers to deal with the effective dates in sections 34, 36, and 37.
We always have to specify specifically what we're looking for.
Yeah. Right. And they can do the, Joe can do the right language, changing the 2005 on line 22, 21, and twice on line 24, once on line 25, once on line 27, and again on line 28. And it'd be as specific as we need to do. I'm sure that Tam Cook can help draft the letter or whoever.
Well, we're going to have to amend it to effective dates anyhow.
Yeah.
So we have to have limited free to be able to do that.
You know, the interesting thing is the bill was last year, and last year was 2006, and one of them goes to 2005. So I kind of question that. And whether or not this went in January 1st of this year or not, I'm not sure why we have to amend the effective dates. I mean, can you explain to me why on either of those cases we need to? It's a policy call, but I don't think we have to.
Well, you've got I think you'd get some resistance if you tried to say that the effective date regarding fraud could be rolled back retroactive.
Well, we were going to roll it back retroactively last year, and
yeah.
It was in the original bill it was being rolled back.
I know we'd get some resistance. I do know that.
Well, but it was in the original bill.
Yeah, I understand.
On that way.
I believe, Mr. Chair, to be accurate, all of those, if we contrast those with the L version, which was the Judiciary CS in the Senate, except for the actual effective date on the final line, all of those related to things that were put in the House side and dealing with the Peace Corps and things like that. They weren't actually criminal.
Well, I mean, maybe Dan's here, but I mean, last year the bill that we passed had a 2005 effective date, and I'm guessing there was a reason
last
for
year
that.
Was 2005. Look.
Oh, so it would have been next.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a retroactive.
Let's all slow down. Let's slow down. We've got a clerk
Sorry.
Who has to keep minutes. So,
that was
my apology. I was on the wrong year.
Let me slow down the conversation just a little bit, okay?
Sure.
Senator Groom, Representative Groomberg.
Last year was 2005, and it wouldn't have been retroactive because July 1 would have been after we adjourned, Mr. Chair.
Senator Guess.
Mr. Chair, then we just need limited power on Section 36.
We'll cover our bets and take all the effective date sections for limited power, and just in case we decide to change it. We don't have to change it.
Okay. And it would be nice when we come back and discuss that, maybe, Dan, if you tell us from the fraud perspective.
Right. Is there anything else that we see in here that someone would want to discuss since we're hedging our bets? Any other section that we would want to have included as a possible section to work on in limited free?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a new section, but I just want to clarify that what we're saying in our letter is that we would like limited powers to address in certain sections the effective dates only within those sections and not the sections themselves. I just want to
Yeah, or we might as well
Senator Guest?
Mr. Chair, sorry. No, I think it's an important clarification, or we're going to open up the entire bill. Which I don't think is the intent of the conference committee at this time.
That seems, that covers the stuff that's under discussions.
Okay. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. At the risk of being Mr. Nitpick, if you could talk on that.
You what?
It's something, it's current statute.
I'm compulsive obsessive.
I always thought it was obsessive compulsive.
It's zero.
Oh, okay. Other comments from any of the members? At this point, I have a motion that we report back to each body that we want limited free conference powers on the effective dates, and effective date sections only.
So moved.
Representative Grunberg has moved that we request our respective bodies for limited free conference powers on the effective dates only. Is there objection? Hearing none. So ordered, and we'll get this back, and as soon as we have this read across, we'll call another meeting. With that, today's meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.